Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our morning worship service. Great to see you here. Let's begin by turning to hymn number 745. 745. We'll stand together and sing Rejoice in the Lord Always. Hymn 7 for prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for Jesus, our glorious Savior, the one who died in our place and rose again to give us new life. We praise you that as believers here today, our sins have been washed away. We have been given the Holy Spirit within. We are on our way to heaven as a promise that we can rest in, and we have your power and wisdom within us by your Spirit to walk this path here that you have called us to walk. We thank you for the church. Thank you for this fellowship in particular as we have gathered here together today. Thank you for each heart that's come and that you've brought us together here. We pray that we would please and honor you, lift your name high, glorify you, proclaim the name of Jesus as Savior and Lord, that people would come to know him, if anyone is here today that has not yet trusted in him, and that for all of us who know him, we'd be encouraged, walking closer to you and drawing closer to one another as well as we await the return of our Savior. Bless this hour, we pray, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Our Father, we thank you this morning for all your grace and love to us and every blessing that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Kellers and for their devotion for you, Lord, for their willingness to serve wherever they go. And we pray your blessings upon them today, that you'll just give them peace in their hearts as they seek to serve you here in the United States at the moment and through the computers and all other places around the world. But we pray that it might be possible for them eventually to return to Ukraine and continue their ministry. We do pray that this war would come to an end. Lord, we don't know how that's going to work, but we pray that your will might be done regarding this. And we thank you for all of our missionaries, Lord, for the work that they are doing. We pray that you'll continue to work through them and bring many to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Help us as well to be good witnesses for you in all that we do and say. Lord, we do want to pray today for those who are going through difficult times right now. We pray for Tom Nichols as he's in the hospital. Pray for Kathy that you'll just comfort her and strengthen her during this time and meet her needs. And we pray too, our Father, for Marilyn Kirkner, pray that you'll undertake for her and touch her and heal her of this pneumonia. And we pray for Pam also that she might be completely healed, that she might have good movement and be able to accomplish what she needs to do. Thank you for her and her devotion to you. Thank you for bringing us all together today. And we pray that you'll help us all that we might truly honor you and magnify you. Bless your word to our hearts today as we look into it. Pray that we might truly draw closer to you and do your holy will in all things. Thank you so much for all that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, I want to read from Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. We've been looking at Isaiah now for quite some time. We're getting close to the end. We'll see how it goes. And this morning, chapter 57. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But draw near hither, you sons of the sorcerers, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys, under the cliffs of the rocks, among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meal offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon the lofty and high mountain hast thou set thy bed. Even thither wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. Behind the doors also and the posts hast thou set up thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. And thou wentest to the king with ointment, and didst increase thy perfumes, and didst send thy messengers far off, and didst debase thyself even unto hell. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet saidst thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and shall inherit my holy mountain, and shall say, cast ye up, cast ye up. Prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit shall fail before me and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace. To him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Look at Isaiah 57. Here we see the contrast between the righteous and the wicked. We saw in chapter 55 the wonderful invitation that God gave to the people. For example, in verse 7 it says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So those who heed the invitation that God gives us here in this verse. We find receiving the Lord Jesus as a Savior. As we read the New Testament, we know that this is what it's involved. We come to Him through faith in Christ, and we put our faith and trust in Him. But those who reject Him continue on their wicked way to judgment. This chapter makes it clear. The righteous receive life eternal, and the wicked death, destruction, forever. And that's, you know, it's kind of a serious thought to think about. Those who know the Lord, it's wonderful. The righteous, and it talks about them first, but it's in the first couple of verses here, he says the righteous are perishing, right? And no one seems to care. No one lays it to heart. Everyone else just goes on their merry way, and these people die off. And the merciful men are taken away. No one considering that they're taken away, it says here, from the evil to come. Think about that. You know, when we sometimes, people that are serving the Lord, and all of a sudden they're gone, right? You think, well, what in the world is going on here, you know? But he says here sometimes it's to save them from something worse that's coming, you know? And the Lord is that way many times. We think about the rapture, right? We're all looking forward to that, right? And some days Jesus is coming to take us home. But when he does that, then after that, the tribulation is going to take place on the earth, and it's going to be a pandemonium, and it's going to be horrible, but we won't be here. Amen. How about that? Isn't that great? Think of that. We escape. So he says the righteous sometimes are taken away to spare them from what is coming, from the evil that might be. And here it seems that these people, during this period of time, were dying, these righteous people, and no one seemed to care. The leaders certainly didn't. In chapter 56, verse 10, right up, a little bit above here, it says, His watchmen, God's watchmen, are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Hey, does that sound like any leaders that you might know? I don't know. Hopefully. Sometimes it might be better if they would just go to sleep. Yeah. Anyhow, he says, Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. Eat, drink, and be merry, right? Does that sound like, well, a lot that's going on in our world today? Now, this particular, we have to think about this chapter, and where the time period that it was written. He speaks here about this kind of thing and the idolatry that took place. And there's no way that this could be after the exile. When Israel was taken into Babylonia, exile, they were prisoners, right? They couldn't get out and do all these things that we read about here with all of the idolatry and everything else. So this had to take place before. And it shows Isaiah, the prophet, wrote about all these different time periods, and we see here that there's one person who wrote the entire book of Isaiah. That's what I'm trying to say, right? Some people say there were three or four different Isaiahs, you know, and because of the prophecy, but no, there was only this man that God called way back in the beginning, and he wrote about all these different time periods. And so anyhow, we find here that, God addresses the wicked. We see first of all the righteous, they're going to enter into peace. That's wonderful, isn't it? The peace that passes all understanding. We're going to have absolute peace. We're going to be set free from the bonds that hold us down here. But then he talks about the wicked, the and God places all the other people that are not the righteous into the camp of the wicked, right? I mean, it seems to me there's only two categories. There's the righteous, those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and know Him and have eternal life in Him. They have peace. But the others, unfortunately, do not. Notice what it says here in verse 3. He says, "But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, seed of the adulterer and the whore." Here, he's talking to these people. This is Israel he's talking to. Supposedly, the people of God. They're supposed to be the wife of Jehovah, right? And that's what he's talking about here with all of this unfaithfulness that they're showing. And he's not pleased with them. He says, "Who do you think you are? Who are you mocking?" You know? Mocking the righteous, not even caring about them. "And you are guilty of spiritual adultery." Notice he says, verse 5, "inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree." See? Passion. Leaving the true and the living God and going after the idols that can do nothing for them. Under every green tree. He makes this picture here. It's like adultery. You know, people going out and committing adultery. Well, he says, this is what you're doing with these idols. You're leaving me, your true husband, and you're going after these false gods. And you're guilty of that. So the Lord is complaining about that. And then also this last part, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rock. They're guilty of killing their own children. I got this from a commentator. He says, "One of the Canaanite gods the Israelites worshipped was Molech, who received children as sacrifices. Molech was worshipped by heating a metal statue of himself until it was red hot and placing a living infant on its outstretched arms until he died, with the beating drums drowning out the sound of the cries of the child." What a harmful, hideous way for these primitive, ignorant people to act. Right? Aren't you glad we no longer allow our children to be treated in this way? No. Now they've developed a much nicer way to dispose of the children. Right? Take a pill or some kind of an operation and they're gone. Is that right? In the sight of God, it's still an abomination. Judgment is coming, and it'll all come out. Right? We need to repent. Those who are guilty of that or think it's good, you need to repent. There's no fear of God. Notice here in verse 11, it says, "And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not?" God says, "I have put up with you long enough." Talking to these Israelites, of course. He's not talking to us, is he? I hope not. Anyway, he says, you don't fear me. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And to turn away from him and to mistreat him, to avoid him, to not even consider him, where so many people do today. They could care less, right? You know? And no fear of God before them. He's been very patient and long-suffering, but now he says, no, it's enough. So today we see this once again. Sin on every hand with no restrictions. I mean, it's getting ridiculous, you know, to think about what's going on in our world. Dr. Vernon McGee, who actually was living 40 years ago, this is when he said this, okay? He said, in the past, sin was committed, but in secret. But at the present time, sin has become brazen and flaunts itself. What would not even have been whispered about a few years ago is done in the open today. Sin has become a way of life. And he said that back in the 70s or 80s. And where are we today? We certainly haven't gotten any better, have we? So anyway, then we see the way of peace and restoration, verse 15. This is beautiful. Notice this verse. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The high and lofty one. We need to realize who God is, his majesty, his power, and to know that he is the one who is in control. He is the one. We need to look to him and give him all the praise and to have that attitude of humility and being contrite in his sight. And I just wondered about contrite. I looked it up here in the lexicon, and it says that it's used, so it means like something that is like dust. It's been, you know, broken down. And the word here is, what is the word? Daka is the word in the Hebrew. And it means very much crushed, broken very small, broken in spirit, and cast down. God says these are the ones that I dwell with. Those who are humble, those who have been willing to realize that they cannot make it on their own. They need the Lord, you see? And these are the ones that dwell together with him in peace and in harmony. And he says, I am there with me to be revived, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. So the one that has been broken down, God revives him, brings him back, right? And restores him as he dwells in his presence. What a wonderful verse that is to think about that he is doing that. You know, it says in 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. See? He will. He'll bring you back. So third, we see the great love of God, his willingness to forgive those who turn to him. Look at verse 18. He says, I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. So even those who have sinned, those who are willing to come humbly and ask God to save them, he says, I will. I have seen his ways. I will heal him and restore him. So in his mercy, God invites all men to come. Notice in verse 19, it says, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that's far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. So in his mercy, God invites all men to come to him to receive his peace. Look with me for a minute in Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 13. I want to read this. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of the two one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Them that were far off and them that were nigh. Here, Paul is talking about those who are far off, who are the Gentiles, those who knew nothing at all about God, those who were near were the Jewish people. They had a relationship with God of one kind or another. But now he has brought them together at the cross. And each and every one of us can know him and have that peace that passes all understanding. For both, through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. See, through Christ, we have access to the Father. And we can come to him and know that we have eternal life. So the last part of this, it says in verse 20, the contrast to this, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. No peace. Peace for those who receive God's salvation, yes. But no peace to those who do not. Those who go on their own way. They are following the wrong pathway. And here, it talks about the wicked like the troubled sea. And I had a little note here I found. It says, the ancient Jewish people thought of the sea as a very dangerous and dark and restless place. And perhaps that's why in the New Testament, in Revelation 21, it talks about the new heaven and the new earth. And there's no more sea. Now, I don't know if that has anything to do with it or not, but I did read that. Someone wrote that. At any rate, the point is here in this passage of Scripture, have you received God's peace in your heart? Do you know that if anything would happen to you, that you would truly go to be with God? Have you received the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? Do you have his peace dwelling in your heart? If not, what does he say? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, right? put your faith and your trust in Jesus, the Savior, the Redeemer, and He will give you His life, His peace, and everything else that goes along with it. So, put your faith in Him. He will give you peace and eternal life. Father, we thank You so much for Your word to our hearts today. We pray that You will encourage each and every believer. And if there is anyone who is not saved, that this might be the very time that they would put their faith in Christ and know beyond a doubt that they have eternal life in Him. Thank You so much. In Jesus' name, amen.